Welcome to the Friday edition of The Jungle. My name is Jim Rome, live in the Quicken Loan Studios. Apply simply, understand fully, and mortgage confidently. Quicken Loans. All right, what's going on? Welcome to the program. Nice to have you here. Big, big Friday show. Lots to get done. Let's get after it. Telephone number is toll free. I've got two interviews coming up early on. I've got a six-time world champion and an Olympic gold medalist, Sugar Ray Leonard, coming up next segment. Ray Leonard joins me then. Ben Golliver, top of hour number two. Anderson Silva is in hour number three. The week that was in the third hour. I've got an appearance coming up on Sunday at the Buffalo Wild Wings in Mission Valley. The holiday cards are coming in. I thought it was maybe Hawk's worst idea. It's not that bad. They're pretty good. So we've got all that coming up today. Telephone number is 1-800-636-8686. Follow me on Twitter right now if you don't mind. If you're not already, follow me at Jim Rome and email me at Rome, R-O-M-E, at haveatake.com. Lots to get to. Ray Leonard coming up next segment. But why don't we start this morning with the way I ended last night on Twitter. I'm going to start the show today the way I ended the night on social by asking, now, will you respect Philip Rivers? Now, will you respect Philip Rivers? Because if you don't now, then you should stop watching football. Honestly, just go find something else to do. Because if you did not come away from that game respecting Philip Rivers and the Chargers, then you're wasting your time and you're wasting my time too. I mean, sure, if you're a Chiefs fan, it probably pissed you off to see him waving to you as he jogged off the field. Except for one thing, he earned that. He more than earned that. And your problem should not be with Rivers talking some junk after ripping your heart out in your house. It's about your team not finishing. It's about your team not being able to hold on to a two-touchdown lead in the fourth quarter. In a game you had to have, in a game that would have wrapped up that division, and in a game that would have gone a long way towards locking up the top seed in the conference. Now that's your issue. I mean, I don't know. Maybe Rivers waving goodbye did not piss you off. But if that didn't, I'm guessing the Charger Twitter account busting out with the Chargers haven't beaten anyone good in the mocking SpongeBob font probably did. It's a strong tweet. That Twitter feed had itself a day. And they earned it. They earned it. Because that 29-28 win over the Chiefs in Kansas City was bad. Ass. The type of game that the Chargers and Rivers traditionally have not won, but he and they man the hell up, just as they have all year long. You see, they're different now, and in large part, they're different because he's different. Now, I'll give you this. He and they did not look so different when that game started. Not when Phil was splitting the opposition's numbers on his very first pass.
They bring Virgil Green, the tight end, in motion, left to right. Back to throw Rivers, soaring deep over the middle. And the pass is going to be intercepted at midfield. It's picked off by Steven Nelson. And Philip Rivers, who's only thrown six picks all season, makes a mistake and the Chiefs pick it off at midfield.
Chiefs radio. It was hard not to think, uh-oh, here we go again. Chargers in KC, Phil in KC, this is what he and they do. Second play of the game, he's picked off, KC comes down to score on a Pat Mahomes TD pass. Moments later, the Chargers were punting again, and again that was followed by a Patrick Mahomes TD pass. And before you blink, LA's down 14-0, and it looks like a boat race. It looked like the team that had won 9 straight was going to make it 10. And they were going to do it going away. And the eggs were out on Twitter, killing Rivers and the Bolts. You know, same old, same old. The more things change, the more they stay exactly the same. And the Chargers still were not ready for prime time. Or were they? Now look, I'm not going to lie. I took the Chiefs. I laid the points in this one. And at 14-0, it looked like it was going to be easy money. But the Bolts obviously did not get that memo. And instead of lying down and accepting that beatdown, they fought back 14-7. Then they were on the verge of tying it at the end of the half. Not only were they not getting blown out, they were exactly where they wanted to be. until this happened.
Newsom to his left, Rivers to throw, moves to his right, fires it late for the end zone. It's going to be intercepted. Kendall Fuller in the back of the end zone. It's picked off. Kendall Fuller with an athletic play, picking Rivers for the second time tonight, this time in the back near corner of the end zone.
So once again, that's Arrowhead Phil. You know, a great player who's had some bad games, made some bad decisions, and really struggled at times in that stadium. And right there, that was one of the bad decisions. But it wasn't just Phil. Look, I said it here yesterday. That was the game of the year because those are the two best teams in the AFC. Not the Patriots, not the Steelers, who are going to play each other this weekend, but this one. But then again, at times, that game was sloppy, in part because both teams were banged up and it was a short week. But execution was not exactly at an elite level. But I'll tell you who brought their A game. You know who brought their A game? The referees. They brought their A game. These guys were in postseason form. Short week for the refs? Chow, please. Maybe these guys have all been napping it out in Tom Brady's recovery PJs because these dudes were playing through it. All of it. I don't know if they took the spike before the game, but they muscled through the pain and the stiffness in their flag-throwing shoulders. They were spraying them all over the yard. I mean, damn, have you ever seen so many defensive holding calls? Were these dudes getting paid by the flag? Hey, old dudes, just because the teams are not playing well does not mean you need to make it about you. We're still not tuning in to see you. No one is paying their hard-earned dough to watch you jam your face in front of the camera over and over and over again. And even worse than them making it about them and over-officiating the hell out of that game was the fact that they completely disappeared when Rivers took a headshot on that final drive. This guy's being tackled from behind, giving himself up, takes a shot to the dome, and there's nothing from the refs. The guys who could not wait to call anything and everything a few minutes earlier, but had no flags for that.
Early on the field stands.
It stands!
Early on the field stands.
But as much as the refs seem to want to make this about them, it really was about Philip Rivers, the guy who trailed the Steelers by 16 a few weeks back and came back to win. The guy who trailed the Chiefs by 14, not once, not twice, but three times last night. The same guy who had lost nine straight to Kansas City and had struggled in Kansas City. The same guy who went into that game without Melvin Gordon. You see, this is why I respect this guy so much and his toughness. I've been banging the Rivers drum for a long time, saying that he does not get nearly the respect he deserves on the national stage. However, even I thought that going into KC without his top two running backs was too much, especially against a KC pass rush. And for much of the game, that's how it looked, especially after losing Keenan Allen early in that game. It's a lot of production on the sideline in a game they had to have if they wanted to win that division. And at that point, most teams are shutting it down and getting ready for next week. But not the Bolts, not Rivers. He kept battling, led them on an 11-play drive. That made it 28-21, less than 4 minutes to go. Then the Charger defense comes up with a monster stop on third down. They force a punt. One thing about that defense, too. Quick word about the defense. They held Kansas City to a season-low 8 possessions. That's going to get lost in what Rivers did. But the Chargers defense more than held up their end of the bargain. If you want to sleep on them, you go right ahead. I'm not going to. Chargers get the ball back at their 40. 2:37 left. Down by 7. Then they get called for holding. First and 20. And here we go again. Rivers having to march through his personal house of horrors without his star receiver, without his star running back, and his star running back's backup. Start with that 31-yard pass to Travis Benjamin. Then the drive stalls. Then it's 4th and 7 at the KC 36. Now the game is on the line. The division is on the line. Possible home field throughout the playoffs on the line. Alvey, roll the hell out of this.
Rivers in the shotgun. Takes a snap. This is the game. Middle of the field. Has Travis Benjamin. Breaks a tackle. 10. Dropped at the 9. Philip Rivers puts it on his mark, and Travis Benjamin hauls it in.
Show me your lightning bolt. Chargers radio. Holy crap, how did that guy get that ball in there? The coverage could not have been any better, and he still got it in there. He could not have run out and handed the ball to Benjamin in a better spot. So let me pick it up really quickly. I mean, there's so much to talk about, but then we have that comical no call on the helmet-to-helmet, the possible makeup call on a PI in the end zone, and then you have this.
Rivers in the shotgun. Looks to the right for Mike Williams. Throws to Mike Williams. Caught! Touchdown! Touchdown, Chargers! Mike Williams with his third of the day.
That's a tie game, right? Uh-uh. Phil thought it was. He told NFL Network he expected to take the PAT and go into overtime, but that's not what happened. Quote, Coach Lynn said, let's go win it right now.
Shotgun snap, Rivers rolls to the right, throws to the end zone, caught! It's good! It's good! Mike Williams with the grab! Chargers lead 29-28.
Hey, KC, way to have a man within 50 feet of him. Incredible. Solid brass call. Solid brass execution. Except not for my man Anthony Lynn. He didn't think it was complicated at all.
Well, we didn't come here to tie. We came here to win. And so to me, it was a no-brainer.
Bam. Have some. The Chargers never even blinked. They go into KC, a place where they've struggled for years, and they come out with one of their best wins ever. Literally. That's why Philip Rivers deserves MVP run. That's why Anthony Lynn deserves Coach of the Year run. And let me say this. Hear me now. Understand me later. Hear me right now. Understand me later. The road to Atlanta could very well go through Carson and LA. I said it before. I'll say it again right now. Los Angeles is now the center of the football universe. Take that, haters. Super Chargers! Can you imagine that thing going through Carson? It could go through Carson. How about both championship games here in SoCal? Not bad for a community that did not have the NFL for two decades plus. Man, that was brass. That is an unbelievable win for a guy and a team that traditionally has not won that game. That was solid. Chiefs fans, you could not wait to come in here and burn this place to the ground. You blew a two-touchdown lead in the fourth quarter. Late in the fourth quarter. This email starts it off. Dear Rome, double-digit lead blown. Check. Embarrassing defensive mistake to end the game. Check. Home loss to an underdog. Check. I would say the Chiefs are ready for the playoffs. Casey, New Hampshire. Chiefs honk. 40-year-old Super Bowl virgin. So it's all supposed to be different this year, wasn't it? The Chargers definitely are different. All right, when we come back, Sugar Ray Leonard, six-time world champ and Olympic gold medalist, joins me. We'll talk some boxing with him. Clones, the holidays are fast approaching, and with it, the uncertainty of what to get that special person in your life. Do not overthink this. Give the gift of a Peloton. Peloton is a game-changing indoor cycling bike that brings the energy of live cycling and live studio classes right to your home anytime you want. This holiday season, Peloton is the perfect gift for them and for you. You can give them up to 14 live cycling classes every single day, thousands more on demand, and you'll get to clip in as well as long as they're not riding. With live cycling classes streaming right into your home every single day, featuring real-time motivation from world-class instructors, Peloton is the perfect gift this holiday season. In fact, any season. Any weather is perfect for Peloton. No matter how rough it gets this winter, there is always a brand new ride waiting for you at home. And there is still a chance to give the gift of a Peloton bike. When you order that bike by 12:20, you get a free welcome gift as well. So you still have Peloton under the tree this holiday. You've got time for it. For more details, go to onepeloton.com. That's onepeloton.com. I've got mine. I love it. Get yours. onepeloton.com.
You're listening to the Jim Rome Show.
Welcome back. I'm Jim Rome. Actually, talking some boxing this week. I've got Teddy Atlas on my podcast. It is live right now. If you've not heard that, you want to make sure you look for it either after the program or sometime this weekend. We are efforting Ray Leonard. Ray Leonard is one of my favorite fighters ever. Ray Leonard He's one of my favorite athletes ever because of the heart that he would demonstrate. In fact, we have found him an Olympic gold medalist, a six-time world champion, fighter of the decade for the 1980s, founder of the Sugar Ray Leonard Foundation. He is a member of the Boxing Hall of Fame. He is an analyst with DAZN. Canelo v. Rocky, tomorrow night, 8 p.m. live from... Too long, Ray. Definitely too long. How are you feeling? How are things?
Does that mean we're getting older?
Or we are, Ray.
More responsible?
Ray, I don't know about you. I'm getting older, less responsible. But, Ray, you look great, though. You look great. I think you're not getting older. I know I am.
No, it's more exterior than interior.
Gotcha. All right, so you got Canelo and Rocky tomorrow night. But before we talk about that fight, Ray, talk to me for a minute about Madison Square Garden. As a fighter, what goes through you when you hear those three words, Madison Square Garden, and what does the arena mean to the sport overall?
The first thing that comes to mind is Mecca of boxing. I mean, it's the place to be. You know, if you haven't fought in Madison Square Garden, you have not been a fighter for the most part. But, you know, I think I fought there. I don't recall what happened. I don't want to recall what happened because I think I lost. I don't know what fight that was.
I think, Ray, that was your fight with Terry Norris, right?
I don't think. Well, I don't remember.
I got you. I remember that fight. That was something else. But, yeah, it is the Mecca. It's where everybody wants to be. So, I mean, when you look at the big picture for the sport, Ray, we're a few weeks removed now from Wilder Fury, and now we've got this fight tomorrow night. It feels like it is a huge moment for boxing. As a fan of the sport, does it feel that way to you? Does it feel like we're at the start of something special once again in boxing?
Well, you know, what's happening now is that these fights that, like, we look upon as, like, you know, just for sure, this guy's going to win. It's 50-1, it's 100-1. That this guy can't beat, whether it's Wilder, you know, and that was a good indication, too, because I'm one of them, I just felt that it would be maybe a couple rounds and Wilder would knock him out, Tyson Fury. All of a sudden, I saw a different person, fighter, in that ring with Tyson Fury. He got up the last knockdown, I thought he was, like, out, dead. And he got back up somehow, some way. Very interesting fight. Very interesting to score. I gave Fury a slight edge. But then again, that happens to all fighters, especially if we are the top-notch favorite. We go into that ring. We're in shape, but psychologically, mentally, we're not there. And that's what happens to most champions for the most part.
We're talking to Ray Leonard. You have Canelo and Rocky tomorrow night, 8 p.m. live from Madison Square Garden on DAZN. You can get DAZN by signing up for free. You know, Ray, when you talk about what makes a great champion, what it takes to be a great fighter, Canelo is very, very, very good. In your mind, does he have what it takes to be great?
Yes, he does. He's a young man, and you know, when I saw him against Floyd Mayweather Jr., I said it's going to be a teacher and a student, and Canelo being the student. He put up a good fight, the best he could, against a great fighter in Floyd Mayweather Jr. And that, you know what, and no one likes to lose, but you know what, that made him a better fighter.
Sugar Ray Leonard joining us. We're talking about Rocky and Canelo. What about Rocky, Ray? The thing about Rocky is he's largely unknown here. He is an underdog. Now, you used to fight, and you were used to the spotlight. You were always there, and you would thrive in those situations. But if you're a guy like Rocky, and you're not used to the kind of media attention that he's getting, what kind of advice would you give him before a fight of this magnitude?
I spoke with him yesterday, Rocky, and he seemed pretty composed. I mean, this is huge. Huge, especially for him. But he seems to be pretty, you know, calm. But you don't know that, and he won't know that until he enters that ring. And when he feels the energy and the whole attitude thing and power of Canelo, it's gonna be an eye opener. We just have to see how he reacts to that. he's a tall guy. He's a really tall guy. Heavier guy, stronger guy. But let's see if he, you know, the question is, can he use that? Will he use that? Will he take his time? Will he use his height and reach advantage? Make him harder to hit.
We're talking to Ray Leonard. You know, Ray, he's got that advantage in height, in reach. He actually towers over Canelo. You know, let me change up on you for 1 minute. There was this piece in the Wall Street Journal in October that was really powerful, and it was a story about from the time when you were 10 years old, and some friends were near a roaring creek in Maryland.
Oh, my God.
Ray, what happened next, for those who do not know that story?
I was, you know, I lived in Maryland at the time, and there was a creek right near the McDonald's restaurant. And I remember going over there after a big rainstorm, the place, and because the creek had flooded. And me and my boys, I'm like 10, maybe 11, and we walked on the side because it was just fun at that time. I slipped into and fell into the water, into the creek. And the current was just strong, pushing down towards the drain. I couldn't swim. I couldn't swim, but I could survive, and I kept fighting. I pulled myself up at times, and then I heard the roar of the water, the power of that water, and I never gave up, Jim. It's so weird. I mean, I can hear the water right now, because when I talk about it, it's like it brings back memories that I fought to stay alive. And somehow, some way, by the grace of God, I pulled myself up and looked down, way down the field, which is like the size of a football field, and saw all these people. And that was where I fell in. And I walked towards them, and this man saw me, and he picked me up and on his shoulders and took me over to my parents, who were just going, I mean, they were crying. Everyone was crying. And man, it was awful. It was awful. Even today, I can swim now, naturally, but I don't really like water. I like water, but I don't love water.
Of course, Ray, it's terrible. You were 10 years old. You nearly lost your life. You nearly drowned. And you mentioned that you just kept fighting. You kept fighting. And when I think about you and I think about your career, I mean, this is the way it was. There were times where you were beaten in the ring, yet you seemed to have this reserve. You could always tap into a reserve that, I don't know, I didn't think it was necessarily there. I think about the late rounds. And remember, for people listening, you fought into later rounds when they still fought rounds 13 through 15.
Rounds.
Right.
Yeah.
Against Thomas Hearns, when it seemed like you had nothing left. How were you able to tap into a reserve like that when it looked like you had nothing left?
You know what Muhammad Ali said to me many, many years ago, prior to those fights you're talking about? He said, Ray, you know, when I fought Joe Frazier, it was like the closest thing to death. And I looked at him kind of strange, and I found out what he meant through fighting Tommy Hearns, especially in the first fight in 81. Duran in June of 80, Marvin Hagler, Wilfred Benitez, it was there when you reached down in that intestinal fortitude. You reach down for that thing that we all have. We all possess it. We just can't activate it. And that's the difference.
So, Ray, when you talk about those fights, I mean, Benitez was an amazing fighter. Hagler obviously goes without saying. Thomas Hearns, a Hall of Famer. Duran, who you made quit. You know, as I look back on your career, there were so many amazing moments. If I had to ask you to pick one, what is the moment you were most proud of in the ring?
You know, and you're right. I mean, they were significant, but the one that comes to mind is Tommy Hearns, the unification of the welterweight crown. September of what, 81. Tommy, I mean, my left eye was closed. It was like over 100 degrees in the ring. My arms tied, everything was tied, but somehow, some way, I hit him. I caught him. And I just, it was like an adrenaline shot. It was adrenaline. It was like, something happened. And it's hard to really, really articulate it, but it's something special. Again, we all have. And when I heard an opponent, I have this thing that clicks on automatically. It clicks on. It turns on, I should say.
Boy, Ray, Tommy Hearns, he might not have been able to box like you could box, but his punching power was unbelievable. What was it like to get hit by that man?
You know what? I tell you, Jim, I'm glad you asked the question. Tommy never hurt me in the first fight. He never hurt me in the first fight. Second fight, he hurt me numerous times. First fight, I mean, I don't know. Because if you go back and watch the fight, and the tape of the fight, you see the first round I was moving because prior to the first bell, I looked around the ring. I walked around the ring and I said, all right, who in here could beat Tommy Hearns? And you know who it was? I saw Muhammad Ali.
Hmm.
And I moved like Muhammad Ali the first, second round. And Tommy was missing. He couldn't connect. And then I touched him on the forehead just before the bell rang, and he hit me in retaliation. But that meant he was angry. He was mad. And that's where I wanted to take him. I choreographed my fights in my head as they're taking place.
Ray Leonard joining us for another moment or so. Ray, the thing that you were ahead of your time, you look at Conor McGregor. Conor McGregor is, he's won so many fights by getting under guys' skin and getting in their heads. You were able to do this. I mean, you took one of the toughest guys ever in Roberto Duran and made him quit. What about that mental warfare? How many times did you think you would want to fight before you even step between the ropes?
I learned that from Duran. I learned how to get into the head from Duran.
Hmm.
I mean, he taught me.
That's irony.
He was my teacher in our first fight. And that was in June of 80 in Montreal. And because he took me out of my game plan, and I stood toe-to-toe, although I had the hand speed and the foot movement to outmaneuver him because of the things he said to me and to my wife. And I couldn't get back at him because he didn't, at that time he wasn't speaking English. He taught me something, and I used that against other guys.
Boy, Ray, everything's changed so much, right? I mean, you're still a boxing fan. You're still associated with the sport. Let me finally ask you this. What do you make? And again, we're close in age. We came up at the same time. Yeah, how about a world where Oscar De La Hoya and Dana White are going back and forth through the media, and then Oscar finally said, look, if you want to get in the ring, man, I'll take care of it that way. What do you make of the battle between the two of these guys, the beef they're having right now?
Well, I'm not too privy upon the specifics of that, but I've heard through the grapevine. But hey, you know what? MMA, I mean, it's huge. It's huge. I mean, a lot of my friends are fans of boxing and also that. Just keep it going. You know what? It's entertainment. And the fact that when Mayweather fought McGregor,
yep.
I just knew that at some point that early on that he would get tired. Because it's a different type of conditioning with, you know, going 5 rounds or going 5-minute rounds or whatever and going 12 rounds or 15 rounds. And it was like the fourth, fifth round. And I looked over at McConnell, and he was not, you know, he was winded. But it was impressive and entertaining that he went that far. And then at some point, Mayweather looked at me and winked because I was doing the commentary there. And it was entertaining fight. It was a spectacle.
It was. Exactly. That's exactly what it was. It was a spectacle, and it went 10 rounds. So you've got Canelo and Rocky tomorrow night, 8 p.m. live, Madison Square Garden, on DAZN. You can get DAZN by signing up for free. Ray Leonard is an Olympic gold medalist and a Hall of Famer, a 6-time world champ. You know, Ray, I could do this all day long. So good to get caught up. Ray, I appreciate you.
Thanks, Jim.
Ray, you have a great day. Great talking to you. Ray Leonard. I'll say it again. I always say this, too. I don't play favorites. Ray Leonard is one of my favorite athletes. But I came up at that time, that generation, with boxing. And Ray Leonard had some of the greatest moments in the history of that sport. Ray Leonard had some of the greatest wins in the history of that sport. Ray Leonard, like, I mean, you have a combat sport, and then you've got football. There's just certain guys. Joe Montana, Ray Leonard, guys with that it. Guys that, when it seems like there's nothing left, they could tap that reserve. And most of all, guys who were at their best on the biggest stage. Guys who could tap into something. Guys who could clutch up. Montana had it. Ray Leonard had it. Michael Jordan had it. So these are some of the best. Ray Leonard especially. All right, let me get out very quickly when we come back. More on that matchup last night. The Chiefs. Chargers. Stand in. They hang in. And I'm telling you, they're different because I think that Phillip Rivers is different. And now all of a sudden, they've got a shot. They've got to look at this thing. The Chiefs could have wrapped up the division. They would have had the inside track on the top seed overall. And now it's in their head that L.A. came into their house and beat them. And beat them the way they did. Time now for a sports update. Here you go. Brad Hellerhaus.
Live from Southern California, this is the Jim Rome Show on CBS Sports Radio.
We do the ATP every single Friday, too. Ask the Pros, brought to you by O'Reilly Auto Parts. Go to CBSSportsRadio.com/AskThePros. Submit a question right there. I will answer one of them a little bit later on. Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all of your car care needs. Get guaranteed low prices. Excellent customer service at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Better parts, better prices every day. You know, it's amazing. Like, that fight is going to be in Madison Square Garden. Ray Leonard, when Ray said, yeah, I don't remember what happened when I fought there. Ray knew what happened. Ray knew. Because Ray, if I'm not mistaken, I think Ray only fought there once. And I remember that fight distinctly. And I know Ray does too, because Ray's got great recall of everything. That was a fight with Terry Norris. That was in February of 1991. I remember that because I had started in San Diego on 690 AM in December of 1990. And Terry Norris was a really flashy fighter. One of my favorite fighters. I loved him on the way up. And he was from San Diego. And I remember Ray Leonard took that fight. And I remember thinking at that time, and Ray was very smart. Ray was a little bit like Floyd Mayweather. He was, unlike Floyd, in that Ray at that time fought the very best of the best in their prime. But Ray was very smart and very calculating and very astute in the way he handled his business and his career. And I think that at that time, Ray thought, I'm going to get this young guy, and he's not going to be ready for this, and he's not going to be experienced enough, and he's not going to be able to handle the big stage, the big spotlight that we talked about. But Terry Norris, I believe at that time, was 23, and great athlete, really good athlete, extremely fast hands, good punching power, and it did not go well for Ray. That was one of those things where a champion hung on, but in the end, you show up and you're not quite what you were, and you're getting a guy on the way up who's in his prime or entering his prime. So when Ray laughed and said, yeah, I don't really remember what happened. He knows. But that was the one time he fought at Madison Square Garden. In the meantime, Ray Leonard was one of the most exciting, compelling athletes I've ever seen or talked to or covered. DLH 1029 tweets, Rome, nothing will come close to that 1980s middleweight division in the sport of boxing. You know, again, Ray Leonard coming out of retirement after nearly 5 years to fight Marvin Hagler, when Marvin Hagler was like the baddest dude there was. Like, you could not beat him. Nobody could see that happening. And everybody thought that Ray Leonard was out of his mind to come out of retirement to fight Marvin Hagler. And Ray beat him. Rome, did it take extra time to get connected with Ray Leonard? Because Hawk picked up the phone and said, who the bleep is this? When Ray called, signed Aaron in Omaha, War Hawk, not red inking my wars on this email. Hawk, you know who Ray Leonard is, right? You swear. I'll take that as a no. Dear Mr. Rome, what is up with the Ray Liotta thread this week? I worked really hard to get that Shantix gig, and I'm tired of people mistaking me for him. Regards, Meg Ryan. Geoff and Lincoln. Mail. War Iray sending Hawk his family holiday photo, which consists of Iray, a stray dog, and a rat posing in front of a burned barrel fireplace. War Sugar Ray Leonard dropping the JC blast. It's great to have you on the show. Ray, how are you?
Jim, how long has it been, bro?
Definitely too long. I'm not laughing at the JC blast, although maybe a little bit. It's a funny way to start an interview, right? I mean, Ray and I have a bit of a connection because we've talked a lot over the years, but not recently, which is why I said, Ray, man, it's been a while. To which he responded, JC, how long has it been, bub? It's great to have you on the show. Ray, how are you?
Jim, how long has it been, bub?
Definitely. Got a great affinity for Ray. I love Ray. Dear Chiefs, put that coffee down.
Put that coffee down.
Yours, the Chargers. Brendan in the Natty. War perfecting the perfect selfie.
Perfecting the perfect selfie.
So I'll say it again. I ended the night on Twitter, and I'll start the day by saying it once again. Will you respect Philip Rivers now after what he did last night? No star running back. No star running back backup. Star wide receiver goes down in the first half, and they go to a place that's hostile where they never have success, and he finds a way to get it done. How about my man Antonio Gates? Hey, clones, how about your man, Kelvin Benjamin? These dudes were making plays. And they're about the same size now. Antonio Gates, it was so good to see him show up the way he did and make plays. Benjamin making plays. And I'm telling you, give that defense credit. That Charger defense got it done. I thought it was too much to ask of Phil Rivers, but not. He's a different guy. This email says, Romy Rome. This is not only a lady clone. This is like the lady clone. Romy Rome, how's it going, brother? This whole Dana White, Oscar De La Hoya beef is great. But why does Oscar's clip look like he's introducing a bunch of ex-cons behind him in a prison work program? How many teardrop tattoos can one stage handle? War, Trubersky, and the gang dominating Lambo. War trying to stay sober enough to remember Christmas. Kay Savage in Texas.
War lady clones.
But Dana White has been cutting loose still on Oscar De La Hoya. He's already called him a bleeping cokehead. Oscar De La
Cokehead,
dummy.
Nutball.
Check
Oscar
that.
Oscar De La dummy.
A cokehead nutball, actually. Check that.
Cokehead nutball.
Check that. A bleeping cokehead nutball.
Cokehead nutball.
Oscar De La dummy.
Oscar De La dummy.
Oscar De La moron.
Oscar De La weirdo.
Oscar De La weirdo, I forgot about.
Oscar De La weirdo.
So these guys, and it's escalating too. It's getting worse. I saw TMZ stop De La Hoya and ask him, and De La Hoya was kind of sticking to his rap about, hey, the reason I'm doing this is because fighters are coming to me and saying they can't make money fighting for Dana White. Then Dana White went on ESPN and said, oh, is that a fact? Really? Let me give you some numbers. See, Oscar does not want to get into that fight with Dana White. That is not a fight that Oscar can win, which is why I think Oscar ultimately said, when the guy from TMZ said, hey, Oscar, what would happen if the two of you guys got in the ring? And Oscar said something to the effect of, I'd kick his ass. What do you think? Probably a better idea to try to fight him there than to try to fight him using your words and your numbers. So that beef is escalating. Oscar De La Weirdo.
Oscar De La Weirdo.
Still better than a cokehead, I guess.
Cokehead nutball.
Dear Rome, it's so great to hear Sugar Ray on today. I know your newbie producer does not have any idea who the hell he is, but the guy sounds just as polished and professional as he did when he signed my napkin at a TGIF Fridays in Orange County way back in the day. Gino in Boise, Idaho, wore MMA, never being able to hold boxing's jock. They're just different. They're different sports. You know, it's like, you can't say one is better than the other. They're just totally different sports. You know, if you like basketball better than football, you like basketball better than football. The same thing here. In fact, Ray, notice Ray did not disrespect MMA. Ray was not sitting there saying, hey, boxing is so much better. Back in my time, my sport, my era, my thing. That's not what he said. He said, I've got a lot of friends who love MMA. It's great. And it is. It's just different. I could talk to Ray Leonard. I'm still going on. I could talk to him for another hour. What's your favorite Ray Leonard moment? Was it the win in the 14th round where he came back to TKO Tommy Hearns? Was it Hagler? Was it Duran? Was it Benitez? They were all amazing fights. And Teddy Atlas, who's on my podcast, said that Mike Tyson was not a great fighter. He said that. Tyson was not only an all-time great, but not a great fighter. And the way he justified that is by saying because he was not a Viking, not a gladiator, not a warrior, then Mike never had that. The Mike was fine when guys were terrified of Mike, but when guys did not back down, be it Buster Douglas or Evander Holyfield, Mike looked for a way out. This is Teddy now saying this. The Mike would look for a way out. And that's why Mike, Teddy was the first guy to say this. That's why Mike tried to bite Evander's ear off because Evander was not afraid. Evander was not backing up. Mike did not have another plan. So Atlas has long alleged Mike was looking for a way out to save face. And the best way to do that, to maintain the respect of people back in the neighborhood, was to do something savage. So he bit Evander's ear off his head. It's good to talk some boxing. When we come back, we'll talk basketball. Ben Golliver, a Washington Post reporter, joins us. Stay tuned.